Last time we left off on Daf Nun Amud Beis, we have a sugya to cover, which is sort of not from our Masechta. I'm not going to dwell on it at great length, but I just want to go through it. What we had stopped at the point at last time was a funny sequence of Amoraim, which was Rav Yosef Bar Abba tells the story how Rabba Bar Yirmiyah came to his place, his town, and he brought a Mishnah with him and quoted the Mishnah, and he concluded by saying Veles Nagar Velo Bar Nagar Diafrakina. No one can possibly explain this Mishnah. The Mishnah doesn't make sense. Something wrong with it. So the Gemara is going to spend a lot of time. We're going to read the Mishnah, Braisa. We're going to read the Braisa in a moment. And the Gemara is going to spend a fair amount of time trying to figure out, what was bothering him? What was the problem in the first place? So the Mishnah, we'll start on sixth line, on Nun Amud Beis. Amar Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba, Ikla Rabba Bar Yirmiyah La'asran, Ve'asa, he came to our town, the icy masnisa biyada. He brought a brisa in his hands. Maslian umizahamin bishvias. The ein maslian umizahamin bemoed. So there's a lot of explanation behind this. Firstly, to be maslia, as you might guess from the root, which is tough lamadayim, which is the same root as tolas, a worm, it means to remove worms from, let's say, the trees or things that they're growing on in the Shemitah year. Mizahamin, Rashi says, is that when there was a branch that sort of broke off a tree or partially fell off a tree, and the tree was exposed, in order to avoid harm to the tree, you would take, he says, literally zevel, dung, and they would sort of plaster it onto the wound, if you want to call that, of the tree, and that was to protect the tree from insects, from other types of things, whatever would damage the tree. So the Braisa says that you're allowed to do this in the Shemitah year. You're not allowed to do it b'moed on Chol HaShemoed. Then, I'm going to just read and translate the braisa, then I'm going to provide some background. Then, kan v'kan ein megazmin. Kan v'kan means both during the Shemitah year and on Chol HaMoed of a regular year, you're not allowed to be megazmin. What does that mean? Rashi explains to cut off, it's basically to prune when you have an excess of branches so they'll grow better. That you're not allowed to do, whether during the Shemitah year or during Chol HaMoed. And finally, sachen v'sachen shemen legizum bein b'moed bein b'shvias. If a tree was already pruned before the Shemitah year, before Chol HaMoed, you're allowed to put shemen on it so that the tree won't be harmed. In other words, there's something exposed there, so you can be sach, you can
seal it off.
Seal it, I guess, with oil or something like that.
It sounds like
both doing the
what? A little bit like mizahamin.
Yes.
Catching it up.
Okay, so you could have written the Gemara. You've already figured out what the problem is. You have. That's very good. So the Gemara's going to take a while to get to the problem, but it says you're allowed to be sachen shemen legizum. You can put oil on this open patch, bein b'moed, bein b'shvias. This you can do both during Chol HaMoed, and not only during the Shemitah year, but also during Chol HaMoed. Veles nagar velo bar nagar diyifrakina. And there is no carpenter or son of a carpenter who can possibly solve this problem, fix this problem. So we have to figure out what the problem is. But to understand what the problem is, first we have to step back and talk a little bit about Shemitah and about Chol HaMoed.
This is my expression, veles nagar velo bar nagar.
Yes.
Is that just here, or are you putting it anywhere else?
As far as I know, it appears... only twice in the sugya. That's why.
No, I meant without the shot. I mean, just
that's what I'm saying. I think it's only here.
Okay.
It's the only place that it appears. That's why the first one was relevant to our sugya. The first one was about Tikroves Avodah Zarah. What becomes Asur? What sacrificial materials that are actually sacrificed do become Asur B'Na, and what don't become Asur B'Na? But this one has absolutely nothing to do with Avodah Zarah. The only common denominator was the framework. The Amora who says that so-and-so came to our town, and he brought a Mishnah, and there's no solution.
He came to our town, and he came. What is this big build-up here? Iklav, Asur, I say.
Because it was an unusual thing. It was an unusual thing, right? In other words, it's like, imagine, said, I come to KJ, so it's not a big deal. I come almost every week. Said, but if, let's say, Lord Dr. Rabbi Jonathan Zacks comes, so you make a very big deal about it, right? It's a memorable occasion. How often does he come to KJ? So that's what it means. In other words, if Yosef Barba came and he gave a shir. He brought a Mishnah. He brought a Braisa. And the Braisa made no sense. The Braisa was extremely problematic.
Chacham ben Chacham, Nagar ben Nagar.
That's what on the side that I don't know if Rashi says that. In other words, it's an idiom. It's like Amos says, Lo Navi Anochi, Velo Ven Navi Anochi. So a Nagar literally is a carpenter, and his job is to fix the nuts and bolts of the Braisa. And he says, there's nobody, not a Nagar, not a Bar Nagar. No one can solve this problem. Now there is an Isser of malacha on Shabbos. All malacha essentially is asur on Shabbos under pretty much all circumstances, leaving aside danger to life, with the exception perhaps of certain mitzvahs that have to be done on Shabbos. Karbanos, bris milah, Karban Pesach specifically, but as a general rule, all malacha is prohibited on Shabbos. The definition of malacha is the 39 malachas. Fine. Yom Tov, there is an Isser of Malacha, but it is not a categorical Isser of Malacha. It is not comprehensive, it is not total. On Yom Tov, there are two Malachos seem to be broken down into two categories. There's something called Malachas Avoda, and there's something called not Malachas Avoda, which we typically refer to as Malachas Ochal Nefesh. How exactly one defines the difference between the two of them is the subject of much debate among the Mishonim. In its most basic terms, Malachas Ochal Nefesh is something that's done for the preparation of food. Malachas Avoda is something that is not done for the preparation of food. There's a very interesting Ramban, both in the Mochamos, his commentary on the Rif and the Baal HaMor, and in his Perush on Chumash, where the Ramban actually claims there are a number of Rishonim who follow this, based upon Yerushalmi, whose reading can be challenged, that not all malachos that are done for the purposes of food are permitted by the Torah. We know that there are a lot of malachos for food that you can't do midrabanan. But many Rishonim say, Rashi, probably Tosos, the Rambam say, any malacha that's done really directly for food, including for Rashi and for the Rambam and Rashi probably, if you wanted to go into your field and pluck apples off the tree on Yom Tov, that would be mutam and Torah, only prohibited midrabanan. The Ramban claims that even malacha that's done for food, if it's a malacha that's typically done in bulk, that's not called malachas ochal nefesh anymore. That's called malachas avoda, and that is prohibited on Yom Tov. Now the third.
But if you just had a tree.
No, the Ramban would say, unless it were the kind of, in order to be permissible in our Torah, it would have to be the kind of thing that you only pluck something when you ate it. If the norm was to harvest it in bulk.
That's what I'm saying. If you have a house and you have fruit trees or whatever, and you only pluck it when you want to eat it.
So I don't think we necessarily look at you as the individual. We look at the norm of this. So I might have an apple tree in my backyard, and I might only, pluck, a couple apples at a time, but you go to an apple orchard, it's harvested at a certain time of the season. There's a third Isser Malacha, which is the Malacha of Chol HaMoed. Now, the Isser Malacha on Chol HaMoed is much less clear. The Gemara in Chagiga points out that there seems to be a contradiction in the Pesukim whether Malacha is prohibited in all of Yom Tov or only on the days that we call Mikra Kodesh, Yom HaRishon, Yom HaShvi, or in Sukkot, Yom HaRishon, Yom HaShmini. And the Gemara says that some Malacha is permitted on Chol HaMoed, some halacha is prohibited on Chol HaMoed. The primary locus of this discussion is Meseches Moed Katan. But the Gemara Chagiga has a drasha that explains that which malachos are permitted, which are prohibited, lo misaran hakasav el ala chachamim. The Torah handed it over, entrusted it to the chachamim to define which is what is us or what is mutter. The question is, what does this mean? There's a big machlokas harishonim here. If you look at in the Mishnah Brura, in the Biur Halacha, the first page in the sixth chelik of Mishnah Brura, you will see that, which begins Hilchos Chol HaMoed, you'll see this very long Biur Halacha in which he cites numerous rishonim on both sides of the issue as to whether or not any malacha on Chol HaMoed is prohibited min HaTorah or it is only rabbinic in nature. But either way, there are malachos that are prohibited on Chol HaMoed, but certainly not nowhere near as restrictive as on Yom Tov. So in our Braisa, we talk about certain malachos that you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed, be they deraisa, be they derabanan. When the Chachamim decided that certain things couldn't be done on Chol HaMoed, so as a general rule, things that were not Letzorach HaMoed were prohibited, and sometimes things that even if if they could have been argued as somehow being Letzarach HaMoed, might have been prohibited because of Tircha. One of the few broad categories, and not always, but generally, that the Chachamim also exempted from the prohibition Chol HaMoed, is what's known as Davar HaAved. The basis for, in a perfect ideal world, and I don't actually advise this because it's very cheap in the seat that I sit in to make this advice. Ideally, one would choose to take vacation during Chol HaMoed. That would really be the optimal halachic approach. As I said, for me, it's cheap to say that because people who are in schools for the most part are not teaching in Jewish schools, they're teaching Chol HaMoed. So I'm reluctant to tell people that's really what you should do. But perhaps in an ideal world, the heter for working Chol HaMoed is on the arguments that. If your work involves some of these malachos, is that in some ways it's a davar ha'aved. That's what I think is a very fairly broad minhag, even amongst observant Jews. But it would be categorized sort of as davar ha'aved. So that's what's prohibited on Chol HaMoed. Shvius is, the Shemitah year is sort of a different category. In the Shemitah year, there are a number of malachos that are prohibited, but they're only the malachos that would appear on the beginning of the list of the malachos of Shabbos. In other words, there's no Isser or malacha during the Shemitah year. You want to write 100 novels and you want to light a fire, you know, every minute of the year and everything else, of course, that's permitted. The prohibition of malacha during the Shemitah year is specifically agricultural malacha. And there are a number of issues where this breaks down in terms of the Shemitah year. What is actually prohibited min HaTorah? The Torah in Parshas Bahar, lists only a limited number of malachos. Sheishanim tizras adecha, v'sheishanim tizmar karmecha v'yasavtas tuvasa. It speaks about zriya, it speaks about pruning, which is also a kind of planting. And on Shabbos, if you prune branches on Shabbos on your tree so that the tree will grow better, that's a malacha of zoreah. And then, so there seems to be some prohibition of zriya, and then ace sviach kitzirecha lo siktzar ves inavei nizirecha lo siftzar. The Torah also prohibits harvesting. The Torah, incidentally, those two are very, very different, meaning you're not allowed to plant in the Shemitah year, period. Harvesting, you are allowed to harvest in the Shemitah year. If I have an apple tree that grows, I can go eat fruits in the Shemitah year. What you're not allowed to do in the Shemitah year is you're not allowed to harvest in bulk the way an owner of the tree would do. In other words, in the Shemitah year, everything that grows normally, let's say fruits and things like that, are considered hefker. But anybody can go, you take as you need. You don't have to take only one apple, but if you can take maybe for the day or for the week. And all sorts of rules around that.
It's got to be natural growth. Like you can't prune the tree to make...
Correct. Now, it's a general rule within the laws of Shemitah. There are some malachos that the Chacham... Firstly, it's not entirely clear whether all the things that are... everything that you would do with respect to the causing things to grow and taking care of the ground is Asur min HaTorah, or if most of it is only Asur min HaRabbanan, then the only things that are Asur min HaTorah are the malachos that are listed by the Torah. Basically, Harisha, which is not explicit, Zriya, and Kitzira. Plowing, planting, and harvesting. And almost everything else that you would do on the ground, would actually not be considered Nisa Daraisa. So that's a discussion the Gemara has in the beginning of Maseches Mamre Katan.
But you could eat anything.
Anything that grows normally on its own.
Right.
Well, I say that fruit trees is permitted. Things that grow from seed, but might grow because the seeds fell, during the sixth year, or accidentally, what are called Svichei Shvius. It could be grain, it could be... legumes and things like that do require planting, but you might not have planted. That's a whole discussion. What are the din of svichim in Shvius? But fruits that normally grow, that we say ein gizel machlif. In other words, the branch, the trunk is always there, and the fruits just regenerate. So that's permitted to harvest on a as you need basis.
Instrument or a machine? Does that make a difference of using an instrument or a machine or a hand or pluck by hand?
I don't know.
That's on the
Midrash and the Rabbanan. So that's true. That permission is true both Midrash and Midrabbanan, right? The things that normally grow, fruits, things that regenerate, you're allowed to consume. In the Shemitah year, you just cannot act as the Bailam on it. Now the question emerges, what we're going to see here, is there are some malachos that are done, there are two kinds of malachos of maintenance that might be done with things in the Shemitah year, on trees, because that's what you're talking about, and that's why this is talking about trees. One would be things that would help the tree grow better, and others would be things that simply prevent the tree from being damaged. This is a concept that this comes up in Hilchos Chol HaMoed as well, not in terms of our malacha, but in terms of engaging in prakmacha and buying and selling, so they distinguish between what we call hefseid versus minias harevach. There's a difference between you stand to lose money versus simply not making a profit. In other words, if I had an item and if I don't sell it now during Chol HaMoed, I'm going to sell it at a loss, that's a hefseid. If I sell it now, I could make a bigger profit, but I'm not going to lose money from what I bought it at. That's called minias harevach. And we often we make that kind of a distinction. So the same thing is really being presented in the Braisa. Now, as a one last observation, and then we'll just go over each of these things to talk about, as Sam already figured out what the problem was, but to understand what each of one of these things are, is that on Shvi'is, there's no Isser of Tircha. No matter how hard something is, that's not going to be a reason to prohibit it. What's going to prohibit it is that it's going to be a labor that's connected with the karka. It's an agricultural malacha, and then it's going to be a question of what is the nature of that malacha. Whereas when it comes to Chol HaMoed, it's not just that agricultural activities generally are from the malachos, from the list of the lamentas malachos, but on top of that, there might be things you're not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed just because there's a tircha involved, or because it touches on malachos that aren't actually covered by Shvi'is. When we talk about building a fence around a field or fixing a fence, Shvi'is is a totally different ball game than Chol HaMoed, because Shvi'is there's no Isser of Binyan. Whereas on Chol HaMoed, separate from the question of agricultural issues, let's say building that fence around the field is a problem of malach. Okay, so what did the Braisa say again? So let's take a look one more time. Maslin and Mizahamin, to remove the worms and to cover over the wounds of the tree. So the Braisa says you're allowed to do that in the Shemitah year, so we understand why. Right? It's not there to make the tree grow better, it's to prevent the tree from getting sick. Okay. You've gone to step beyond pita. Not only do animals have rights, now trees have rights too. Okay. But you're not allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. So Tosas here grapples with the question, is this a Davar HaAved? Because if it's a Davar HaAved, it should be permissible. So Tosas has two approaches. One approach of Tosas say this is a case where it's not really going to suffer damage if you wait till after the Moed. Whereas if it were a Davar HaAved, you'd be allowed to do it. And Tosas offers a second teretz that no, that there are some things that are Davar HaAved that they still didn't permit on Chol HaMoed because it involves unusual tircha or whatever else. So that's the first part of the braisa. Okay, so far so good. You understand that we're more machmir, we're more stringent by the moed than we are by shvi'is, because there are more considerations there. Then, kan in megazman, you're not allowed to prune it, so we understand why. It's not a question of hefseid. Pruning the tree is to make it grow much nicer. So that, you're not allowed to do, not only during Chol HaMoed, as a regular malacha of Zoreah, but even during the Shemitah year, that's the equivalent of Sadchalo Sizra. And finally, the Mishnah, the Braisa says, Sachen Shemen Legizun Bein Memoed Bein Beshvius. If you have sort of an exposed thing on the tree, you're allowed to put something on it, put some oil on it, at least to give it some type of protection, both in the Moed and in Shvius.
It just says, ain't Megazim, and then it says that you were Megazim.
No. It doesn't say you were, if you were Megazim before. Let's say if you were Megazim before Chol HaMoed, or before the Shemitah year began, and now during the Shemitah year on Chol HaMoed, you want to put some oil on it because you see it's not healing properly, that's not a problem. So you can't actually prune the tree during the Shemitah or during Chol HaMoed, but if it was pruned before, you can sort of put Shemit, you can try to protect it. And the less Naga v'lo bo Naga d'ifra kineh. So Amar Ravina. Ravina now is going to try to figure out, he's going to show, I can solve the problems. I'm a Ravina. Anola Nagar, Avana Ana, Vala Barnagar Naha. I'm not a carpenter nor the son of a carpenter. Umfarkinale, but I can explain it. My Kakashale. So first we have to figure out what the problem is. What was bothering him? Ilema Moed Ashvias Kakashale. They were bothered with the first line of the Braisa, which says that you're allowed to be Maslia and to be Mizahim in the Shemitah year, but not during Chol HaMoed. If that was what was bothering, Maishna Ashvias the Shari. Why is it permissible during the Shemitah year, but prohibited on Chol HaMoed? Midami. They're not similar at all. That's not a question. Shvi'is malacha asar rachmana. Tircha, shari. During the Shemitah year, it's only malacha, and agricultural malachas are prohibited, not a tircha. Moed afilu tircha nami asar. So you could argue that the reason why it's prohibited on Chol HaMoed, even though it's not for the purposes of enhancing the growth, but rather protecting the growth, is because there's too much tircha involved. The Ella Zium Agizum Kakashale. He was bothered by the fact that you're allowed to be Mizahim during the Shemitah year, but you're not allowed to be, you're allowed to put the zevel on, the manure on, the fertilizer to coat the wound, but you're not allowed to prune. So Maishna Zium Dashari Maishna Gizum Da'asar. So Midami. That's not a question either. Zium ukme ilana. Zium is to just protect the tree, to be mekayim it. Probably even one might, the targum of the word vachai, normally, vachai is v'yiskayam. When we say in the Yikum Purkan, zara chai v'kayama, it's actually a doublet. Chaya is really is the typical Hebrew, and kayama is the usual Aramaic. So here, midami zium, zium is ukme ilana. That's simply to make the tree survive, to live. Vishari. Gizum avruye ilana v'asur. It's to make it bari, chazak, to make it especially strong, and that's prohibited. Okay. So, the first two issues were internal issues in the Braisa, right? The question of why is it either that which the Gemara dismisses as the possible problem were internal issues. The first one was the distinction between Moed and Shvius with respect to Zihum and Maslein. The second question, which the Gemara dismisses as not being a question, is the distinction within Shvius between Maslein and Mezamin versus Megazmin. Now, the Gemara is going to search for a problem with this Braisa with an external source. Ve'ela zium azium kakashale. They were bothered between a contradiction regarding zium. Now, in our Braisa, there's no contradiction, but the Gemara says as follows. The Katani, our Braisa says, Maslien u'mezahamin b'shvius. You're allowed to do zium. You're allowed to coat the wounds. V'reminhi, but there's a contradiction. There's another Braisa that says, a Mishnah that says, Mezahamin esanatios. V'karchan osan, v'kot min osan, v'osin lohem batim u'mashkin osan, ad Rosh Hashanah. So a little background here. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do malacha. We also have a concept that before Shabbos comes, we have something called Tosefa Shabbos. Many we shown in Paskim, there is some type of Tosefa Shabbos ben HaTorahs, which is why we don't light candles 2 minutes before Shkia. But the minhag is to light candles 18 minutes before Shkia, wherever that shir comes from. That's called Tosefa Shabbos. There's a din of Tosefa Shvius as well. That on the Shemitah year, you have to be Mosif Mechala HaKodesh. And the real focus is on things that you're not allowed to do before the Shemitah year begins. So, without the din of Tosefes, you should be able to do anything up until Erev Rosh Hashanah. The Shemitah year begins like the regular calendar year. But, there is an Isser, either learned from a Pasuk, or Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, it's a Machlokas Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael, whether Tosefes Shvius is Midaraisa or Halacha L'Moshe Mishinai, you're not allowed to do Malacha even before. And some things you're not allowed to do, in fact, as early as Pesach, in terms of plowing fields in which there were trees. The only kinds of fields you'd be plowing would be fields, Steya Ilan, because fields that you plant wheat and whatever else, and that's not the planting season. You're not going to plant that year. But all sorts of things that you might want to do. So some things are prohibited 30 days before, and some things go back even further to Atzeres, or to Shavuos, or even to Pesach. So this Mishnah in Shvius says that you are allowed to be mezahim the netios. Korchan osam means you can somehow wrap them up to protect them, perhaps. The kotman osam does refer to some type of trimming. The osin lembatim, you can build like a little structure around the bottom of the tree and fill it in with dirt. And finally, you can give them water. Water them up until Rosh Hashanah. So the Gemara immediately comments, Ad Rosh Hashanah in Bishvius Lo. So you see that these things are only permitted, whatever the basis they're permitted, I'm not going to talk about it now, they're only permitted up until the Shemitah year begins. Once the Shemitah year begins, you're not allowed to do these things. And one of the things on the list was Mizahamin. So the Mishnah in Shvius says, Ein Mizahamin b'Shvius, and the Braisa that Rabbi Yosef Bar Abba brought says that you are allowed to be Mizahim b'Shvius. And there's no way to solve that contradiction. So the Gemara says, wait, no. V'dilma kidirav ukfa bar chama. The Amar Rav Ukfa bar chama trei kishkushe havu. Rav Ukfa bar chama was dealing with an unrelated contradiction. Kishkushe is digging underneath around the area at the bottom of a tree. So there was a contradiction that he had, whether you're allowed to or not allowed to. So the way Rav Ukva Bar Chama solved the problem was by stating that trei kishkush have, there are two different kinds of kishkush. Chad lavruya ilana v'aser, v'chad l'stumei pile v'shari. One is to make the tree grow really, you know, better, and the other one is simply to cover up the cracks on the bottom, which would be, leave the tree exposed. So, so lavruya ilana, chad lavruya v'aser, v'chad l'stumei pile v'shari. Hachinami, trezi amumei havu. Chad la'ukmei ilana v'shari, v'chad lavruya ilana v'aser. In other words, it's not a stira, there are two kinds of zihum. I don't know exactly what the other kind of zihum is, but the fact is that yesh v'yesh, and therefore the one that is to make the tree really grow fuller, that's aser, the one that is simply to protect the tree, that is permitted. So that's not the, so that was an external contradiction. Gemara says that's not the problem. The elo sicha asicha kakashale must have been that there's a contradiction with regards to whether or not sochen. Now there's no contradiction again within our brisa. It's an external contradiction because our brisa says the katani sochen shemen legizum bein b'moi bein b'shvius. So our brisa says you're allowed to coat the exposed parts of the tree, both on Chol Hamoed and the Shemitah, you have Remini, Sochen es Hapagin, Umenakvin, Umefatmen Osam Ad Rosh Hashanah. So, Pagin are unripe figs. Apparently what they would do, this sounds a little strange to me, I think figs are delicious and juicy on their own right, but they would apparently make a little hole in the fig when it was still growing at a small stage, and they would inject oil in there. And apparently, this would make the figs go really gesund, really big figs, and juicy figs. Okay. So the Mishnah says that you're allowed to do this up until Rosh Hashanah. Same thing as the previous Mishnah. Ad Rosh Hashanah in Bishvias Lo. So the question is, are you allowed to be Sachin or not Sachin? Our Brisa says Sachin Shemen Legizum, and that Brisa says Ein Sachin Asapagin during the Shemitah year. So this one I could have figured out on my own. The Gemara says Mi Dami Hacha Ukme Ilana V'Shari. And our Brisa is permitted because it's to protect the tree. Whereas Hosam Petume Peiriv Aser is to fatten up the peiros. It's not necessary. It's not protecting a loss, you know, damage to the tree or something like that. So. The Aser. So Amale Rasam Abrei Dervashi the Ravina. Ravina Rabba Bar Yirmiya Sicha the Moed Azihum the Moed Kakashale. No, it was an internal problem in the Brisa, which was that the first part of the Brisa says you're allowed to be Maslian and Mazamin. You're not allowed to be Mizahim on Chol Hamoed, but you're allowed to be Sach on Chol Hamoed, right? The Brisa said, "A mizamin mitaslina mizamin b'moed, but maslina mizamin b'shvius, ve'ain maslina mizamoed." So you're not allowed to do zihum hamoed. And what's the purpose of zihum? We know this already. It's to protect the tree. And yet the Brisa says, "Sachin gizun, a sachin shemen legizum, even on Chol Hamoed. You're allowed to coat it with oil Chol Hamoed, and that purpose is also to protect the tree." So the Gemara says, "Michtei hay ukmei." The purpose of both is just to protect the tree. Maishna hai de shari, or maishna hai de aser. How do you explain the difference between the two? And hainu de ka'amar le, les nagar, velo bar nagar de yifrakine. And apparently, Ravina had no answer to the question. Right? This is an internal stira within the Brisa, and we don't know what the answer to the question is. Why is one permitted during Chol Hamoed and the other is not permitted during Chol Hamoed? And the Gemara leaves it at that. Okay. Fine. Back to our show, our regularly scheduled programming. What we had arrived at in the previous discussion, the first of those stories, was a machlokes ha'amoraim. We know that items that are used, that are sacrificed to Avodah Zarah, are not only Asur Bahana, but they're Asur Bahana forever. Tikrobes Avodah Zarah. Not only is it usur, but you can't be mevatel it. Unlike the avodah zarah itself, right? The idol itself, you can be mevatel, but the tekroves, there's nothing you can do about. But the Gemara had said that's only true if it is a tekroves ke'ein panim. It has to be something that would have been done in the Beis Hamikdash. So if you pour wine to avodah zarah, there was wine poured on the mizbeach. That wine is tekroves avodah zarah. and it is usur forever. If, however, you should throw stones at a Markulis, so since there's no stone throwing in the Beis HaMikdash, you don't serve God, and the Mayas said there might have been Kohanim throwing stones at each other, you know, during the civil wars, but nonetheless, there's no mitzvah of throwing, you don't do it as a sacrifice for God. Therefore, it's not Ke'en Prim, and if you worship, even if an Avodah Zarah is normally worshipped by throwing stones at it, so nonetheless, the stones will not, well, they're certainly not going to be Asur forever. There might be a question, so Machlokas HaRishonim, if you have Tikroves Avodah Zarah, we mentioned this 2 weeks ago, if you have something which is brought to Avodah Zarah, but it is not Tikroves Ke'en Pinim, it's not like they did in the Mikdash, we know that its Bittul would certainly work, but the question is, does it even need Bittul? Or do you say, once it's not Ke'en Prim, it doesn't even have the status of Tikroves Avodah Zarah? Now, as we mentioned there, and the Gemara is going to get to in a little bit, on an Aleph Amud Aleph, it raises a fundamental question. The stones that were thrown at the Mercury, which were normal, at Markulis, so if you believe that it has to be Tikroves Ke'en Pinim, then it should turn out that those stones shouldn't even be Asur Bahana. Right? If you hold that in order to be Tikroves, it has to be Ke'en Prim, to be at least Asur Bahana temporarily, until someone's Mevatalid, then why would the Mishnah say that the stones that you throw at the Mercury are Asur Ol? Right? The story in the Gemara that we started with was a situation where they mevatel the stone. Someone took a mercury and everything with it, and they paved the road with it, and there were people who would walk on that road. Those people who held that in order for something to be to Asur Bahana forever, it has to be to Krovis Ke'en Prim, so they walked on that road. Why? Because even if you withhold that it needs Bittul, when they took the stones, and the Goyim who took the stones and made it into a road, that was Bittul. But the question is, if you believe that it's not even Asur B'hana at all, even right after the guy throws the stone at it, meaning it's not the Krovis at all, and it doesn't need Bittul, how do you explain what's going on in the Mishnah itself? Right? The discussion on the opening Mishnah was, when we find stones near Mercury, do we assume that they were thrown at the Mercury or not? So if that's the case, then the assumption is at least when they're thrown at the Mercury, they become Asur B'hana. Maybe there's Bittul later, but it sounds like they're Asur B'hana. So the Gemara is going to deal with that on an Aleph and Aleph. Before we get there, the Gemara now goes off and really takes up the topic again about things that are tikroves in a non-normal manner, and what is their relationship to how things were done in the Mikdash. So I'm going to confess at the outset, I'm going to read the Gemara, and I'm going to explain the Shak of Attire the way Tosis explains it. I don't really understand what's going on here, meaning I don't understand the theological significance of what's being described here. So if you ask me questions about that, I'm not going to have the answer. The Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. That's 8 lines from the bottom. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Avodas kochavim sha'ovden osa b'makel. If there's an Avodah Zarah which is worshipped with a staff. Now the way Rashi explains here, and Tosos accepts this, is it means that they normally, I don't know, you wave a stick, you makashkesh with a makel in front of it. You don't throw a makel at it, you don't break a makel in front of it, you wave a makel in front of it. Now remember the usual rule we've been working with until now, and the Gemara is going to mention it again in the bottom, Nun Aleph Amud Aleph. We may not have seen it in the Gemara yet, it may only be in this parak, but I mentioned it a number of times. The rule with Avodah Zarah is, in order to be Chayav Misa for worshipping Avodah Zarah, the Avodah that you do has to fall into one of two categories. It either has to be the way you normally worship that Avodah Zarah, the way its worshippers, its followers worship it, or, like Mercury, you throw a stone at, or it has to be worshipped using one of four avodos, it's really three in one, that are done in the Mikdash. Namely, shzvicha, slaughtering something, zrika, throwing the blood or something like that, which includes nisuch, and haktara, and burning, and consuming it, and burning something in fire to the Avodah Zarah. Added to that is hishtachava, bowing, which I like to say was also an avodah done in the Mikdash, but not technically. I mean, it was done when they heard the Shem Hashem Yom Kippur, but those are the four avodas. Zvicha, nisuch, I'm going to call it nisuch, but it could be zrika, haktara, and hishtachava. So those four, plus anything that's normal for that avodah zarah. So if you have an avodah zarah that they normally don't worship by bowing or by burning or sacrificing an animal, you're still chayav misa if you worship the Avodah Zarah in that way, even though it's not normal for that Avodah Zarah. And if you were po'er atzmo lepo'or, which is how the Gemara says they worship Baal Po'or, or if you throw stones into mercury, because that's how they worshiped it, so then you're chayav for that as well. If you worship an Avodah Zarah in a way that is shelo kedarka, and it's not one of the four Avodos, I think you're chayav malchus, but you're not chayav misa, b'shogeg, you're not chayav a karbon, you're not chayav karis if you don't get the misa, if it's done on purpose. All right, that's the din in terms of the avoda itself. Now what we spoke about on the previous amud about the tikrovas avodah zarah was not a discussion. About whether you chayav misa or not. If you throw stones at the mercury, regardless of whether or not those stones become asarbana, or whether they do or don't, if they are asarbana, if they do or don't have bittul, regardless of that, you chayav misa for throwing stones at the mercury because that's how they worshipped it. Okay. Now. Rav says the following: Avodas kochavim she'ovdan or saba makel, shavar makel befaneha chayev, zarak makel befaneha potter. If you break a rod in front of it, you're chayev. Means you're. We're not talking about the status of the rod to grow. It's about your chiyuv misa. And if you throw a rod, you're potter. Now, what should be apparent to me, and explains why Rashi says what he says. What's the story? How do they normally worship this avodah zarah?
They wave.
With a makel. Now, it can't be, as Rashi observes, that it's normal to worship it by breaking the makel, but not normal to worship it by throwing the makel, because then the reason, Rav's not really adding anything. In other words, the reason why you'd be chayav for throwing, and for breaking, and patur for throwing, is simply because one is derech avoda, one is not derech avoda, and it's not something they do necessarily inside the mikdash. And presumably, if they did, when it was normal, the way you worship the Avodah Zarah was to throw your rod, so then you'd be chayav misa for that, of course. And you would think if it's not normal to break the rod, you know, right? If the way you worshipped it was by breaking the rod, it's not clear why Rav would say Avodas Kochavim Shovdono Sabamakel, right? In other words, Ovdono Sabamakel means Shover makel befaneh. So of course, if you break a makel in front of it, you're going to be chayev. So if you look at Rashi says the following: Shover makel befaneh chayev. Kidarminan beperek arba misos. The chol avodos shebefnim sheavad b'hem avodos kochavim bein darka b'kach bein shein darka b'kach chayev. Dechsiv zoveach l'Elohim yacharam. Elamidi dechazi l'shem osur l'chol avodos kochavim. Anything that's done normally for God in the mikdash is osur and you're chayev on for all of avodah zarah. V'davar she'eino ke'ein p'nim darka b'kach chayev. If it's not normally done in the mikdash that way, but if it's normal darka b'kach chayev misa dinaf galan. You see the drush at the bottom of the next amud. Me'echayav du ha'gayim ha'elas elohim ve'esa kein ganani. How can the, I'll say the goyim worship the avodah zarah this way. I'll do it too. So you're chayev if you do it the way they do it. However, ein darka b'kach, Rashi says potter. Now, what's going on here about the avodah zarah she ovdeno sabamakel? He says v'zo im lo hayu ovdeno sabamakel. If they didn't worship it at all normally with a staff, lo mechayev b'shavah makel delo shaycha b'fnim. It's not at all relevant to what's done inside. V'im hayu ovdeno sabazrikas makel lo matzi lemedak zarak makel b'fnei pater. If it was normal to worship it by throwing a makel, Rav couldn't say that you're potter for doing so. V'im b'shviras makel pachila, if they worship it by breaking a makel, pshita d'chayiv, v'afila lo dami lifnim. Then the Gemara is about to say the difference between the two of breaking versus throwing is one is similar to zrika, one of them is not. I know that sounds counterintuitive, but I'll explain in a second why. Hilkach. They use a stick in some way worshiping it. Hilkach shaver makel b'faneh chayiv. If you break a rod, you're chayiv. Afal pish ein avodasa b'kach. Even though you don't normally worship this avodasa that way, you're chayiv. Dechevan didomi shvira lezvichas behema shel prim sheshover mafrakta harezarak l'faneh davar sherigila bo. Somehow, it's this new category. You know, since it's a little bit like, it's not shechita, but it's a little bit like shechita, you broke the neck of the stick, right? Therefore, since they do worship the Avodah Zarah with a stick, not with Shviras Makel, you're chay. Aval, Zarak Potter, Ho'ov Ein Avodasa B'kach, V'halodami l'avodas pimkid mefarsh l'kama. Now you're going to say,
it's
what
like
do you mean? Why isn't it throwing the blood? The Gemara will explain why it's not. I mean, it's a little strange, but before we read that line in the Gemara, it's a new category. We used to think there are two kinds of avodas. There's the normal avoda for this avodah zara. There's the non-normal avodah. If it's the normal avodah zara, you chayev on any particular avodah zara with its normal avodah. If it's not the normal avodah, it has to be zvicha, nisuch, haktara, or hishtachava. Otherwise, no dice. That's what we would have said. Apparently, there's a new category. There are things that are not pnim, not avodas pnim, but ke'ein pnim. They're a little like it. And if we're sort of in the parsha, because they use sticks to worship the avodah zara, then if you use a stick not in the way it's normally used, but you use it, you do something that's a little similar to inside, like breaking the makel, which is like doing shechita, then you're chayev. As I said, I don't understand at all. What's that?
This is the gedder. You see, you don't get to avodah zara.
No. But then you wouldn't be chayev for it. And I did the rabbanon, you're not chayev misa. You know, there's a... I never realized this. I don't know if you're doing Daf Yomi. Chelek is such a wonderful, wonderful perek. And I always I've told my students when I teach them, when I introduce the Rambam's Ethikar about Torah and Shemayim, and I ask the question, what's an afgamin if someone's an apikoros? So the Rambam says an apikoros is pasul eidus. But I may mention this here. It's not entirely clear. The Rambam's apikoros, in most cases, probably violated averus also. The Gemara only talks about pasul eidus based upon non-observance of mitzvos. Right? The notion of an apikoros, what we call the contemporary orthoprax, is something that was inconceivable until like the last 100 years. I mean, virtually inconceivable. And the Rambam certainly wasn't...
Who doesn't believe but practices?
Correct. So the Rambam was... It's hard to imagine the Rambam was thinking about that category. Someone who is technically an apikoros, but was like a frum Jew. So that's a question. But what's the other nafkamina? What? Ein lo chelek l'olam haba? So the Chachamim don't get to decide that. God gets to decide who gets into olam haba. He's the one who holds the keys. And I noticed in chelek, I knew the beginning part of the Gemara. I've frequently pointed out to my students that the Mishnah says there are three malachim who have no chelek olam haba. The Gemara says they wanted to add a fourth. The Gemara doesn't say who it was, but then it says, but his father of that person came to them in a dream and begged them not to. And starts to quote a pasuk from Tehillim. It's David coming to beg them not to enumerate Shlomo, was one of the four kings that's no chelek, as four kings has no chelek mabah. And they refused to listen. Then fire came down from heaven and burned the stools on the base matters. And they still refused to listen. And finally, a baskel came out, quoting some pasuk, to the effect that saying, basically, God's the one who gets to decide who gets into Olam Haba.
Shlomo,
so it's actually a Gemara.
Shlomo will get in.
Well, I mean, that's sort of the... That, in other words, it's not up to you to decide. So, Chia Misa, technically, the Chachamim do have the power to based in Makam Onshin Shalom and Adin, but they normally for a Gzeir with the Rabbanon, for a Gedder, you don't get Misa spaced in. Right? Misa be the Shemayim, for sure not, because that's up to God. But even Mises Beis Din, as a general rule, you know, unless it's an unusual, you know, hurrah shah that the Beis Din feels the need to kill someone for a lesser avera to keep law and order in society, so it can't be together. It's really a din, so this is a new category. It's like this in-between. It's sort of Cain, in other words, it's a little bit kedarka of this avodah zarah, but not quite, right, because they normally worship it by shaking the staff. You broke the staff. So if you combine being a little bit Cain avodasa plus a little bit Cain prim, you know, 5 + 5 = 10, and that's the threshold you have to reach. That's apparently what, that's how Rashi and Tosus read this Gemara. So the Gemara says, Abayi says, I've hinted to this already. Amalei Abayi l'Rava, Maishna Shavar to Havalei Kein Zrika, Zark Name Havalei Kein Zrika. Not Kein Zrika, it is Zrika. So Amalei, Be'ina Zrika Mishtaberes Velaka. Now, in order to be considered Zrika, Zrika has to be something that breaks up into pieces. When you throw blood on the Mizbeach, it splatters. A run is just one piece. It's moving an object from one place to the other. It's not, in effect, changing the object in the process. You know, probably if you smash the rod in the process of throwing it, it broke into multiple pieces. That would be zrika mishtaberes, but that's not normally what zrika is.
If you have congealed blood, a glob of congealed blood, that wouldn't be a zrika.
No, that's why, in fact, the Mishnah in Yoma says, and we recite it in the Avodah Yom Kippurim, that the Kohen Gadol, when he went in to start the Ketores, he gave it to the Memares, who was Ome Berov HaRavi, and was stirring the blood of the par while the Kohen got the Ketores started. Yeah, it's precisely the one Kijil, otherwise he had to start all over. Okay. It's also kind of hard to throw Kijil. Yes, I mean, you could throw the Kijil, but it doesn't work very well, but it's actually possible. Okay. So now Eisvein, the Gemara now wants to explore this question. Is this true? Safas lo tzoa, if he dumped excrement on it, o shenisach lefaneh avit shomei me raglayim, where he's menaseh a whatever you call it, and holds the urine, this the container of urine on it, Chayev. Bishlama avit shomei meraglayim ika zrika mishtaberes. Elatsoa my zrika mishtaberes ika.
He's got diarrhea.
Wait, I understand.
So the Gemara says, elabit ika bitsoa lacha. Okay, exactly that. It's a loose stool, right? If it's a solid stool, it's a rock solid, it's just going to bounce off the avodah zarah. But if it's loose, so that's kain zrika mishtaberes. Now, what the Gemara doesn't talk about here is what exactly is the nature of worshipping this avodah zarah. Rashi writes on the top, the Bar Masel Chayev, afilu ein avodasa b'kach. But based upon what Rashi says in the continuation, he makes it sound like even if they don't even normally use tzoa with this avodah or memeraglayim with this avodah zarah. Now, the truth is, the memeraglayim might make sense because that is kind of nisuch. That really is mamish nisuch. But if you don't worship it by throwing dung in, if that's not the normal way of doing it, so why? In other words, if you didn't normally worship that avodah zarah with a makel, bekishkush, so then even if you broke a makel in front of it, even with kain prim, it wouldn't be you wouldn't be chayev on it. So if you don't normally worship it with the dung, why would you be chayev if it's not an all worship with dung, just because the throwing the dung on it is kain pnim? So Tosfos disagrees with Rashi, and I'm not gonna try to work out Rashi. Tosfos says it means it's an avodah zarah. I don't know what you do. Somehow it's normally worship with dung, even though it may be the normal way is not actually throwing the dung at it. Whatever, I don't know what it is that you do with it. And therefore, in this case, if you throw the dung at it, and if it's zrika, it's like a zrika mishtaberes. So then you would be chayev. All right, that could be that you defecate on it normally. So if you don't defecate on it, but you take this dung and you throw it at it, so if the dung breaks up into lots of pieces, if it's loose, so then that's like a zrika mishtaberes, and you're chayev. Otherwise, you would have been potter. Okay. Now the Gemara suggests the following. Lema kitanoi. It gets, I'd say, a little more interesting. Shachat lo chagav. He slaughtered a grasshopper to it. Okay, that's kind of interesting. Rabbi Yehuda Machayev, a chachavim potrim. Now, the assumption that the Rishonim make here is that the zvicha on a grasshopper is not called zvicha. Zvicha is not just I take a knife and I terminate the life of a being. It has to be something where shchita is actually relevant. Shchita is relevant by a behema, by a chaya, by an oaf. I imagine, I don't know, they don't talk about, what about if you had a gecko, okay, and you did shchita on that? Would that constitute shchita? I think not also. That's not called shchita. Shchita has to be on a behema, chaya, of oaf.
So a pig, yes.
A pig, yes. So Rabbi Yehuda's Machayev and the Chacham Potrim. So the Gemara suggests the following. My lab ha-kamapalgi. The Marsava Arminan Kein Zvicha, or Marsava lo Arminan Kein Zvicha. In other words, they're arguing about whether or not they accept Rav's din. Rabbi Yehuda's Machayev says, like Rav, that since even though slaughtering a chagav is not mamish shchita, because it's domek kein pnim, and let's say the way Tosa says that this is something that somehow grasshoppers are usually used in the worship of. Let's say normally you crush a grasshopper in front of the avodah zarah, that's how you worship it. So now that you slaughter a grasshopper, it's not darka exactly, but it's a little bit darka because there's a grasshopper involved, and it's not kein pnim because it's not shchita, but because it's a little like shchita because of the so that's called that's why you'd be chayiv. And the chachamim who disagree say no. They say they disagree with Rav's statement completely. I think Rav is wrong. So it's a machlokas hatanai.
Agree to the breaking of a stick?
No, that's no point. That was Rav's chiddush. Rav's chiddush is that if you don't normally worship with the breaking of a stick, but you worship it with a stick, mm-hmm. and now you do an avoda that's kein panim, but not mamish panim, mm-hmm. that you chayiv. Mm-hmm. So Rabbi Yehuda agrees with Rav, and the chachamim disagree.
Oh, okay.
So the Gemara says lo. The chulei alma lo arminin kein tzvicha, ela kein panim. Nobody accepts that it has to be kain, that it's enough if it's kain zvicha. It has to be mamish kain panim. It's got to be like the avoda inside. Both Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So then the question is, why is Rabbi Yehuda mechayev? So the answer is, v'shani chagav homo v'tzavaro domer l'tzavar behema. Okay? Fine.
What about intent? Does intent play any role at all?
So you're asking, I don't know if this is the question that you might be asking in a larger sense. The assumption is the person intended to worship it. So you're asking a fundamentally good question, which is the following. On both sides of the equation, for starters, we like to think that avodah zarah requires an intent to worship, and normally you would assume that. The problem is let me take just your side, which is, you could ask a question, why if you worship an avodah zarah shelo kedarka, and not came to him, why are you pater? if someone gets up and says to the Avodah Zarah, Ata Eli, mm-hmm. you're my God, he's Mekabla Baloa, he's also Chayiv Misa. He's also Chayiv Misa.
He's not Shloka Darka.
Well, I wouldn't call Kedarka Shloka Darka. He's accepted him as a God. So the question one could ask, and I don't know the answer to the question, which is, when you worship an Avodah Zarah, even though it's Shloka Darka, if your intent is to worship the Avodah Zarah, why is that any less than being Mekabla Baloa? On the flip side, which I was going to start with before, if you read the, if you're doing Chelek, you saw it, then otherwise you have to wait to Parshas Pinchas, you read the story of Peor, the way it's presented. It's a great story, right? The advice Bilam gave to Balak. Jews always like a bargain. This Gemara could have been written by an anti-Semite. So his advice was the following. Have the older women selling silks, you know, at cost. And then when he's looking through them, they can tell, you know, they're on the outside. And on the inside of the store, you had the young women. And the older women would tell him, oh, they're selling it at a discount in there. Right? So, of course, they go inside to get the discount. And then, and that's how they get enticed. And then, they weren't enticed, attracted to the Avodah Zarah. They were attracted to the women. But before the women would let them do what they wanted to do, they'd pull out the Avodah Zarah and just say, be Poer Atzmo to this. Right? And that's what they would do. Now, the Gemara tells similar stories later that someone who was Poer Atzmo to Baal, is chayiv even though he thought he was being mevazet. Unless he wasn't accepting it as a god. He's chayiv in that case, probably a chatas. The question is why? If he was doing it to be mevazet, it means he didn't accept it as a god. What is, if I bow down in front of an Avodah Zarah to pick up my money, so we learned years ago already, earlier in the Masechta, you're not supposed to do that because it looks like you're bowing to Avodah Zarah. But that's not Avodah Zarah, you're not chayiv anything for that, it's a marasayin. So what does it mean to worship it if you don't accept it, Baloa? And what does it mean to be Potter if you worship it, Shaloka Darka, if you actually worship it, to worship it?
Because it's following me.
Right? In other words, somehow the intent piece got lost, and I don't understand the answer to that question. I don't know what the answer to that question
is. Well, because they acted in Balpur. There was an action.
Agreed, but one might have said they weren't, you know, in other words, if really the essence is, maybe we're wrong, and we're not totally wrong, because Mekablo Beloa makes it clear that there's an element here of that. If it weren't for that Mishnah, then I wouldn't have a problem. I would just say, to be Avodah Zarah, we don't care so much about what you think, we care much more about what you do. Right. But that's not true. There are enough Gemaras in Sanhedrin that make it clear that really is not true. That to a great extent, if intent is absent, if you're going through emotion and you don't really believe in it, that's not really being Oved Avodah Zarah. So I don't. That's why I don't know the answer to the question. But it's a good question. It's a good question.
What's the flip side on the idea of intent in Judaism? Like what you were talking about before.
Well, not all actions require intent. Mm-hmm. Right. In other words, punishment may require intent, but most, I would say the following. On Shabbos, we have a notion that many kinds of malachas require intent, but it's a unique category in Shabbos, called malachas ma-Shabbos. But by most areas in halacha, in terms of to establish where you're shogeg or mezid, your intent matters, but in terms of being an avera, intent is irrelevant. If I eat chaylev, the only question is whether I knew I was eating it, I didn't know I was eating it. If I knew I was eating it, I'm amazed. I might be chayiv malchus if I'm warned. I might be, I'm chayiv kares. If I'm a shogeg, I bring a chatas. But it's still an avera, even though I didn't intend to do it. But Avodah Zarah is the kind of thing that you would have thought, worship of God. It's the same thing is true about tefillah, right? Tefillah, which has no intent, really, we all might be yotzei. Ironically, you know why we're yotzei? To some extent, tefillah, because tefillah is also modeled upon avodah. Right, a tefillah has two models. Mm. It has the karbanos, which is avoda, which is the performance. It's showing up and doing your job. Tefillah is also tachanunim, like the avos. It doesn't mean anything if you're not thinking about your davening, if you're not connecting with God. So in that sense, I would have argued, in other words, this is the question, what's the paradigm for Avodah Zarah? Is it avoda or is it tachanunim? And there are, I would say there are sources that point in both directions. But I don't know how one resolves them with a kind of consistency. Okay, so now, returning to our original piece, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Baravua, Amar Rav. Avodas Kochavim, She'ovdun Rosa B'makel. Shovar Makel B'fanel. Now, this is the same din so far that Rav had stated before. It's again in the name of Rav. But there it was Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, here it's Rav Nachman and someone in between. So the first statement is the same. Chayav v'neseres, and the makel becomes aser b'hana. Zorak makel b'lefaneha, chayav v'eina neseres. If you throw a makel in front of it, you are chayav, but it is not Neseres. Now, we understand why. Now, why you chayiv in both cases? So Rashi says, Zarak makel b'fanei chayiv uchagon sh'avodasa bezrikas makel. So it sounds like, and Rashi says in the previous Rashi, Rashi says that if ovdar sub makel means you throw a makel to it. Breaking a makel, either way you're going to be chayiv, like Rav said, right? Rav said a case that you break a makel, you're chayiv, when the normal way is to wave the makel, let's say. He, in this case, Nachman is not disagreeing with Rav. He's stating, if you have an avodah zarah that normally worship with a makel, let's say shviras makel, not shviras makel, zrikas makel, and you break a makel, so you're chayiv, that Rav would have said, because the avodah zarah does have sticks used to worship it, just not normally breaking it. But since breaking it is ke'ein panim, it's like shchita, therefore you're chayiv, and here's what he adds, and it becomes tekrovas avodah zarah. But if you throw a makel at it, so you're chayiv misa. Why you're chayiv misa? Not because it's ke'ein panim, it has to be because it's darka b'kach, because the normal form is throwing the stick, but the stick is mutar b'hano. So Amar le Rav al Rav Nachman, Maishna Shavar the Havi lekein zvicha, Zarek Nama Havi lekein zrika. So Amar le, you know, be'in zrika mishtaberes v'leka. If since the zrika of the makel is not ke'in pnim, yes, you're chayim misa because it's darka b'kach, but it's not the krovas of the zara because in order to be the krovas of the zara to be aser, it has to be ke'in pnim. Now the Gemara comes full circle, and he asks the following question.
Therefore, the makel is not usur,
even though he's chayim misa.
Neither the stones.
Ela me'ata avnei beis markulis bameye asru. Why are the stones of a mercury usur? Amar le, afli didi kashali, ushalte l'rabba baravua. R'rabba baravua asked the chia barav, the chia barav el rav. There's nobody knew. Each one went to the next. The Amar le. Nase kimigadel avodas kochavim. When I throw a stone at the mercury, you know why it becomes asabana? Because my intent is it to be an addition to the mercury. It becomes part of the avodah zarah. I mean, it's not the krovas.
Doesn't it mean this makes a temple out of it? Kimigdol? You're making a tower. That's the way I read it. Nase kimigdol avodas kochavim. He's making now a beam.
If you look at Rashi, I believe it's kimigadel avodas kochavim. Yes, Tosefas al Markulus katan leosos Markulus gadol.
Making bigger,
gadol. It's being megadol. It doesn't really matter. Yeah. It's the same thing. But I think it's being read as a verb kimigadel avodas kochavim.
Okay.
Now the only problem is okay, that's nice, but is it actually usser? When does avodas kochavim become usser b'hanoah? Right, clearly it would have bittul, but right now it hasn't had bittul, so it's aser bana. So the Gemara says, "Hanicha lamanda amra avodas kochavim shel oved kochavim asur miyad." That only works if you hold like the shita that when a guy makes an avodah zara, it's aser immediately, even before it's been worshipped. And lamanda amra shetei oved tishtri the halo polcha. Then the stones that are thrown to the mercury, to be an addition to the mercury, they haven't been worshipped.
Isn't throwing the stones worshipping it?
Yeah.
No, but the one that which you threw is not worshipping.
Hold on.
So Amar Le, call achas for achas nasis avodas kochavim v'tekroves lachaverta. And there's each time you throw one, everything that's there already becomes now is an avodah zarah that's worshipped. And so when I started with three stones and I threw a stone at it, that stone is not yet aser bahana, but it becomes part of the avodah zarah. But it has that stone, the fourth stone, hasn't been worshipped yet. So now when he throws another stone, now all four stones have become worshipped. The fifth stone hasn't been worshipped yet. So ihachi de Gemara says basreisa miyatishteri, the last stone should be permitted. So Amar Le, Iyadis Le, Zil Shakla. Fine, if you know which the last stone is, you can go take it. Ravashi Amar, more of a stranger concept, Kol Achas V'Achas, Nasis Tikrobes La'atzma, V'Tikrobes La'chaberta. No, it becomes part of the other Zara, but it's meant to be self-worshipping itself at the same time. This is a little bit like the concept of Gita V'Yada Boin Ke'echa. The question that's asked is, how is a... I think it... And it's not by Yad Isha, I think it's by a Chatzer. Right, if a woman... maybe it's even by Yad, but so let's if a woman is mekabelis the get, Right? The question I can ask is, if Masha Kansa Isha Kansa Baila, how is the woman actually, a woman has to acquire the gift from the husband? So the answer is, Gita Vayada Bar and Kachad. In other words, yes. When he divorces her, she also becomes independent economically, financially, and therefore it happens at the same time. So that's a little bit like the same thing that's being said here. That it's Nasis Tikroves La'atzma and La'chaverta, and therefore, even the last stone is actually Aser. Okay. We will stop here.